This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Donald Trump has spent 25 of his first 100 days as president at his elite members-only country club in Florida, dubbing it the Winter White House. This is the first time that any sitting president has ever held control of so many businesses. One might expect that such a president would go out of his way to remove the appearance of financial conflicts of interest and other ethical improprieties. But news reports this week pointed out that the U.S. State Department published a glowing article on its ShareAmerica.gov website about Trump's club, a place he has routinely conducted government business from, including meetings with heads of state. The article was picked up by the websites of several U.S. embassies and countries around the world, including the United Kingdom. Once discovered, the posts were promptly removed from all government websites. Now, the group Common Cause has filed a complaint about the incident with the State Department and the Office of Government Ethics. Joining me now is Paul S. Ryan, the Vice President of Policy and Litigation at Common Cause. Welcome back to the show, Paul.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what specifically happened, as far as you can tell? The State Department posted this blog post on a website that is, I understand, a sort of news distribution website for its various embassies around the world. Do we know when that happened, how long it was up, et cetera?
The date on the original article was from early April, so I'm guessing that it was in the run-up to the visit by China's head of state to Mar-a-Lago when he came here to the United States.
So basically, the State Department posted a blog post about Mar-a-Lago. On the surface, why is that a problem?
It certainly appears to be federal government resources being used to promote a private business owned by President Trump. That's a problem. We can't be using federal taxpayer dollars to promote the private business interests of the president.
And so what specifically, you can paraphrase, what was it about the country club that this article said? I mean, did it simply say the president is meeting the Chinese president at this site, or did it sound like an ad?
It was more detailed than the president's meeting at this site. It was really the story of Mar-a-Lago and how it was built by a billionaire who then gave it to the federal government. Her dream was for it to become the Winter White House. It never happened while it was federal government property. But then Donald Trump bought it from the federal government, I believe back in the 80s, according to the article. And then in the 90s, he opened up his private club, and now he's turned it into his own little private Winter White House. It's worth taking a step back here in the whole history of the very brief history of the Trump administration. Common Cause began calling on President Trump to divest, to sell his ownership in his private companies as soon as he won the presidency. He's refused to do that, and predictably, his ownership of all these private businesses has continued to dog the administration and create these conflicts of interest. But you got to draw the line at federal taxpayer dollars being used to promote the business. It was just a glowing review saying that the president has fulfilled the dreams and wishes of the woman who actually was the first owner of Mar-a-Lago by turning it into the Trump administration's Winter White House.
How exclusive a place is this country club? I mean, is it the kind of thing that the public has access to?
Members of the public who can afford a $200,000 a year membership, which is a very, very tiny sliver of the public. And that's a membership fee that has doubled since President Trump won the presidency. So he's clearly seen a business opportunity here to profit even more so from this club than he was prior to winning the presidency. And, we don't even know how exclusive the membership is because the membership list is not a publicly available document. There's some pending legislation in Congress called the Mar-a-Lago Act that Common Cause has endorsed that would require release of both the White House visitor logs and the visitor logs of any place where the president regularly conducts public business. That would include the Mar-a-Lago Resort or Club down in Florida. That would be a little bit of information, but we don't know. There are a little bit of information out there about the membership due to some digging by investigative journalists, but we don't have access to those documents. That in and of itself is another problem. And there were so many problems all wrapped up into this one episode of Mar-a-Lago being promoted by the State Department.
So basically, it used to cost people who wanted to join the club $100,000 a year. After Trump won the presidency, he upped the cost of membership to $200,000. I mean, that only looks like, as you said, someone seeing a business opportunity. The club owned by the new president of the United States will suddenly be doubling its fees, an increase of 100%. Wow.
Billionaires love to be close to power. They're willing to pay through the teeth to dine at a table next to the president as he hosts heads of state from other nations. So it's not surprising. It's disgusting. It's troubling. It's corrupt, but it's not at all surprising to me.
So say somebody wanted to, you know, give a certain amount of money to Trump's re-election campaign. He's already running for re-election, by the way. They could simply join the club as literally join the club with a $200,000 membership to Mar-a-Lago. Effectively, that puts money in his pocket.
Effectively, yes. We have federal campaign finance laws that limit how much you can give to a candidate for president to $2,700 for the primary and another $2,700 for the general election. But the president's maintaining ownership of all of these businesses provides plenty of opportunities for end runs around those campaign finance laws, those important corruption-preventing campaign finance laws. We also prohibit, for example, political contributions to a candidate from foreign nationals. There's no ban on a foreign national joining Trump's Mar-a-Lago club to the tune of $200,000. And because the president has refused to divest ownership of this club and his many, many other businesses, more than 500 distinct businesses owned by the Trump Organization, as you put it, this is really a way to get money into Trump's pocket that he can then spend to an unlimited degree to get himself reelected. So, yeah, all these businesses, including Mar-a-Lago, create an end run around our important campaign finance laws. And now we have the State Department using taxpayer dollars to further facilitate this end run around our campaign finance laws by promoting the Mar-a-Lago Club.
Right. So somebody in another country visiting the U.S. Embassy's website and seeing this article could have thought to themselves, well, if I can't get a direct meeting with President Trump, I could join Mar-a-Lago, or maybe I could curry favor by joining Mar-a-Lago and then get some sort of quid pro quo on a policy issue that I want the president's decision on. I mean, there's so many ways in which that particular article picked up by U.S. Embassy websites was sending a very wrong message, right, to people around the world.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned this access issue. Really important point. From city government to state government to federal government all around the country, we have laws on the books that give the public access to government agency meetings. And these are really important open government laws, but none of those laws apply to President Trump's time spent at his private club in Florida. So we would have no idea. We would have no idea who is gaining access to the president through their ability and willingness to fork over the $200,000 to join his club.
Even if this article wasn't promoted by the State Department, if there was no such article, just the fact that Trump meets with heads of state and during those meetings, the media covers him, you know, shows the footage of him walking around with China's president or Japan's prime minister. That's free advertising for his club, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, and the story only gets worse and worse. When you think about, when you understand or learn about the amount of taxpayer dollars that are being spent paying President Trump's club to accommodate his security detail, for example, the amount of taxpayer dollars being spent paying Trump Tower to rent multiple floors to accommodate the security detail for President Trump's wife, First Lady Melania Trump. You know, we have millions and millions of dollars flowing from the U.S. taxpayer coffers into President Trump's pockets every month.
So let's talk about the complaint that Common Cause has filed. And actually, before we get to that, how much does this particular incident resemble the Kellyanne Conway incident, where she basically promoted Donald Trump's daughter's business line, her retail business, and for that she was basically warned and was told that she, you know, broke ethical rules, and she claimed innocence, that she didn't know or wasn't briefed on what the lines were that she couldn't cross. Is this similar to that incident?
It is similar. There are some differences, but at the end of the day, it's the same ethics regulation that's at issue, the ethics regulation that prohibits federal government employees from endorsing products or services like Ivanka Trump's product line, her clothing and jewelry line, like President Trump's private club, Mar-a-Lago. Kellyanne Conway's promotion of Ivanka Trump's product line was more explicit. But when it comes to this Mar-a-Lago State Department incident, it seems like more federal government resources were expended writing an article, disseminating an article, promoting the Mar-a-Lago club. So very similar instances, slight differences in the details. At the end of the day, Common Cause's view is enough is enough. We're not going to stand by and watch without noting our complaint, as now federal government agencies, the formal government apparatus, is being used to promote the private business interests of the president. That's just too much for us to stomach.
One can only imagine how these sorts of stories would have been acted on by Republicans if Barack Obama or a hypothetical President Hillary Clinton might have been at the center of them. And certainly so much was made of taxpayer dollars providing security for Barack Obama's golfing trips. Well, it turns out Trump has been golfing far more than Obama ever did. And he was one of the loudest voices criticizing Obama's huge double standards here, aren't there?
Tremendous double standards. It's really remarkable what we're seeing in this new administration.
Yeah. So let's talk about the complaint. So you filed a complaint, I understand, directly with the State Department as well as the Office of Government Ethics?
That's correct. Both agencies. And within the State Department, we sent it to Secretary Tillerson. We also sent it to the Inspector General of the State Department, as well as the designated agency ethics official. So under our federal ethics rules, the Office of Governmental Ethics is responsible for administering the ethics rules generally and for guiding designated officers within each and every federal government agency who bear the principal responsibility for enforcing the ethics rules within that agency. So back in the Kellyanne Conway incident, we filed a complaint in that matter too. We sent our complaint there to the White House counsel, Don McGahn, as the principal ethics enforcer within the White House. In this instance, State Department, we sent the complaint to a woman named Catherine McManus, who is the designated agency ethics official within the State Department. So four recipients, the Office of Governmental Ethics Director Walter Schaub, Secretary Tillerson, the Inspector General, whose name is Steve Linick, and the designated agency ethics official, Catherine McManus.
Now, doesn't the fact that the article in question was dropped as soon as it was pointed out, doesn't that indicate that there was wrongdoing? Because if there was no problem with having such an article, they would have left it up. The State Department would have left it up on shareamerica.gov, and U.S. embassies would have left up their reposting of it.
Yeah, you know, this article had been up for a few weeks, but I just heard of it yesterday. I saw it, a lot of Twitter activity yesterday by a few different reporters. I'm not sure which reporter actually broke the story or realized that this was going on. But yeah, the State Department very promptly removed this article from the Share America blog or website. And that does suggest to me that the State Department now realizes that it crossed the line and it should not have put it up in the first place. But that's not enough. We need some investigation into whether there were conversations within the State Department. I'd like to know just who thought this was a good idea in the first instance, and whether there was any consideration given to how this would promote the private business of the president.
How would your complaint ideally be resolved? What would you like to see the State Department and the Office of Government Ethics do in response to your complaint? I mean, these are agencies, of course, under a Trump administration, so I'm not sure they're going to be very zealous in responding, but what would you like to see?
We're under no illusions that they're going to be zealous. They certainly were not zealous within the White House for punishing Kellyanne Conway for openly promoting Ivanka Trump's product line. There, she just got a scolding at worst. But what would we like to see? We'd like to see an investigation and public disclosure of how this came to pass. And, you know, to the extent there were individuals involved who made bad decisions, they should be reprimanded for this activity. The bigger picture here, though, is that we need to see an end to President Trump and his administration, and now pushing out into the various agencies of the executive branch. We need to see a stop to them promoting the president and his private businesses. This is just too much to bear.
Well, give out the website for Common Cause so people can find out more about the work you do.
CommonCause.org. And, you know, we're coming up now on the 100-day mark. Saturday marks the first 100 days of the Trump administration. Common Cause today is pushing out a new report that we have called State of the Swamp: Ethics in President Trump's First 100 Days. It's a pretty short, concise report, about 15 pages, that goes through in some detail the various aspects of President Trump's conflicts of interest, his violations of the Constitution's Domestic Emoluments Clause, the Constitution's Foreign Emoluments Clause, and conflicts of interest by his family and staff within his administration. So definitely go to commoncause.org. Keep your eye out for this State of the Swamp report, because I think it's a good way for us all to educate ourselves on what's really going on in the Trump administration. Despite his promises to come to Washington and drain the swamp, he's only filled the swamp and fed the alligator since arriving here in D.C.
And now it's flooded. Well, Paul, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you for having me.
My guest is Paul S. Ryan, Vice President of Policy and Litigation at Common Cause. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.